Yeah, just good morning again and welcome from my side. Okay, this morning I'm not preaching. My wife is preaching. So, yeah, Anne-Marie, you can come to the front. I'm going to give over to her.
I don't think I have to worship. We all experienced it now. This morning, Philip asked me to preach about worship. I was a worship leader in Shofar for quite a few years, and it's just an amazing experience to stand up on stage and to just facilitate. So this morning I'm here. Am I the ultimate expert on worship? No. Am I the ultimate worshiper? Probably not. I think we will be one day in heaven. I just want to share with you what the Lord has placed inside of me, what He's shown me. So yes, I just want to say, first off, the Word of God is very amazing. And so is the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we don't feel like reading the Word of God, but when we start, even if you have an app like I do on my phone and I search a certain topic, the Lord just starts speaking to you through His Word and the Holy Spirit reveals stuff to you. And then there's too much that we can keep for ourselves, we have to share it. Okay. So before we start, I want to ask you a few questions, okay? You all know what perception and perspective is. Perception is the way that you see things, the way that you understand it. I have water, thanks. And your perspective is your point of view. Now, that is formed by many different things on the outside. And so the questions I ask you are not to catch you out. It's just to see where you are at. Okay. So the first one is, what is your definition of worship? How do you see worship? And I want you to answer.
The worship on my side is the worst thing. Because you know what? The Bible says when Silas and Paulus, they were worshiping in prison. They were worshiping in prison. They decide they are not going to sleep. They are going to worship. They were seeking anointing to come down. And the Bible say at midnight, the earthquake come and he shake it and the doors they were open. The worship is to fill you with the anointing of God, is to break the chains, is to, amen. Amen.
Okay. Wonderful. So how can we express our worship? Come on. Singing and dancing. Sorry? Saying thank you. Serving. Okay. Where can we express our worship? Everywhere. Okay. And is worship important? Yes, we will talk about that later. So how do you get into it? How do you start worshiping? From someone other than the worship team. Okay. Anybody? Who wants to just give an answer out of your heart? It doesn't mean it's wrong or right.
I think you just open your heart and open your mouth and just go.
That's great. Okay, and the sixth question is, what is the difference between individual and corporate worship? What do you think is the difference? Okay, Sarah. Yes, Yes, individual is when you worship by yourself, and corporate is like this. Okay. So now I'm going to give you my definition and my point of view. Okay. Okay, my definition is, it took me a long while to just form it, because I know what I feel and think, but I can't always bring it out in words. It's my whole being, together with everything I do and say, yearning for and wanting to please all that God is. Do we always get it right? Probably not. But we can grow. John Stott, a Christian leader born in 1921, wrote, "All true worship is a response to the self-revelation of God in Christ and Scripture, and arises from our reflection on who He is and what He has done. The worship of God is evoked, informed, and inspired by the vision of God. The true knowledge of God will always lead us to worship. Plainly put, worship is all that we are, reacting rightly to all that God is." Okay. It's not something we just do on a Sunday. It's a lifestyle. It's knowing God in everything we do and say. We can read John 4, verse 24. God, where Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Okay, we cannot do only the one or the other. We cannot just express it in song and dance and not go to the truth as well. Okay, so the second question, how can we express worship? Biblical worship is more than singing. We already discussed that, okay? I just want to go through another few examples. Okay, the first one is prayer. We worship God in prayer. Second is Bible reading. Okay, the Bible is the ultimate truth. We all agree upon that. And we cannot truly worship God if we don't know Him. So if His word is the truth, we must read the truth about Him so that we can get to know Him. Okay, the third one is obeying God. Okay, when God speaks and we immediately obey, that is worship unto God. We spoke at the marriage enrichment about submitting, and we also said that even submitting to your husband is worship unto God. Submitting to leadership is worship unto God. Okay, let's just read 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. Rebellion is the opposite of obedience. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry and teraphim. That's household good luck images. Do you see what we do when we do not obey God's commands, when we do not obey when He speaks to us? I don't want to do witchcraft or idolatry. I would like to be obedient to God. Okay, the fourth one is tithing. If you want to know what you worship most, just look at your pocketbook. Okay. Matthew 6, verse 21. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." I should be the administrator of my finances, not the other way around. I should rule, it should follow me. Okay, so you should start trusting God. We should all start trusting God, because He gives us everything anyway. He helps us to find a job, to earn a salary. So we should start trusting Him in that. Okay, number five, sharing your faith. Whenever you give your testimonies to someone, you are reminded of what God has done for you, and you just fall in love with Him over and over again each time you give it. So sharing your faith is worship. It inspires us to more worship. And the sixth one is serving others. Matthew 25, verse 35 to 40 stated very nicely, but I just want to stress Matthew 25, verse 40. "It's truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." It's where Jesus spoke to the people. So if we serve others, we're actually serving Him. Okay. The seventh is be thankful and positive. This one is very, very, very important. It just changes our outlook on life. You can put up Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Okay, so if we speak death all the time, we say the world is coming to an end, and the world is this, and the world is that, and this person is this and that, we're actually speaking death. We should speak life. We should bless each other. We should bless our country. Bless the rain. Okay. The last one is committing everything in your life to God. He wants to be part of every facet of your life. Everything. You can do a quick stock take of your life, of what you haven't committed to God. I had to do a stock take. I read, you know, sometimes you read these sayings, these nice quotes, and I read one that said, if you are irritated and don't want to spend time with people, it's probably because you're spending too little time with God. You're spending it on other things. And I just realized the games on this thing was keeping me away from God, and I was irritated. And especially behind the wheel of my car, I still have a lot to learn there. So what I did is I started worshiping in my car. And now I'm just so more relaxed. I don't scold everyone that I think doesn't drive as well as I do. Okay, so committing everything to God. Galatians, I haven't got it up there. But Galatians 5, verse 24, it's just after the fruits of the Spirit. It says, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Okay, so we have to crucify ourselves, our passion and our desires for that of God. And all of this is worship unto God. Okay, number three. Worshipping God cannot be limited to a time or place. You can worship Him anytime, any place. If you are always on the lookout for God, you will always find something to worship Him about. Okay, number four. Worship is very important. Let's read Luke 19, verse 40. I tell you, Jesus is talking here to the Pharisees. They were asking Him to rebuke His disciples because they were saying to Him, Lord, and they were blessing Him and just going on about who He is. And so He told the Pharisees, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. So if we don't worship God, the earth will start responding to God. So worship is super, super, super important. How we respond to God is, as I said, everything, all of us, our whole body, our intellect, our emotions react to God. It's when we come into the manifest presence of God, you cannot help but just react. Some people start crying, others start laughing, others just, you know, run around. And I just want to show you the effect of worship on a small little baby. Let's just watch this short clip. His mother is singing Good, Good Father of Chris Tomlin.
It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Can you see that? We had a parrot when we lived in Malmesbury. His name was Chili. And he loved it when I sang to him. And one evening we had a small group. And it was cold, so Chili was inside. He wasn't sleeping outside as usual. And we were just worshiping God in song. And when we stopped, it was just silent. Nobody spoke a word because we just all felt God's presence. And the next moment, he just whistled. That was, he whistled like that when he liked something. And he just, you also experience the manifest presence of God. And that's how we react. We cannot help ourselves. Okay, it's like when you watch your favorite rugby team. You cannot help but react when they do something amazing. And it's the same with God. Did it touch you? Okay. Years ago, I don't know if you guys ever saw it here, but there was this Fritos chips ad where they had a chippy that was like in a tube shape. And in the ad, the people had this big hole in their stomachs. You could see right through them. And they knew what they wanted, and they went after it, and they got it. We know that we have something missing here. We have a hole. But we fill it with the wrong stuff. And we never get rid of that feeling. If we focus on God and fill our lives with more worship, we will fill that hole. Luke 6, verse 21. Blessed are you who hunger and seek with eager desire now, for you shall be filled and completely satisfied. Okay. Number 5. So how do you get into it? How do you start? Well, I feel that you start with seeing with your eyes. Matt Redman wrote a song, you can put that up. Seeing you. He says, our hearts respond to your revelation. That means what he has shown us. All you are showing, all we have seen, commands a life of praise. No one can sing of things they have not seen. God, open our eyes towards a greater glimpse. Worship starts with seeing you. Sometimes we come to church and we sing the songs and it's just a song. It's not a revelation, okay? It's because you haven't seen him. You didn't see him in the week. You didn't get a revelation out of word, out of worshiping him. I think that is why worship was so amazing this morning. It's just the words that Adrian sang this morning was so much the words that I read this week. So I could just fully get into it. And that is where we should be. Okay. We focus so much sometimes on our own wants and needs that we miss it. Okay. Do you remember when you first gave your heart to the Lord? Can you remember that? It was because of revelation. He showed you who he is and what he can do. Okay. And the more we start worshiping him, the more he will reveal himself to us. In so many places in the Bible, I'm not going to go into that. You see the people seeing God, getting a revelation, and then they worship him. So it starts with seeing. And so how do we enter his presence? Let's read in Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Okay, so singing is very important. Even if you don't feel like it, just start singing. Okay. At the beginning of Philip and my walk with God, we had to sell everything. we gave up everything for him. And I remember the day that our car had to go. I was very angry with Philip. I didn't want to speak to him or God. I was angry with all of them. So I sat in front of the computer playing a game, Minesweeper. And I'm just so angry, and the tears are streaming down my face. And then this old Afrikaans song starts playing in my head. He's made us a new creation. And I thought to myself, I'm not in the Inge Church anymore. I don't want to sing this song. I'm glad of the foundation they laid in my life. Please don't get that wrong. But I was just at a bad place in my heart. And it kept on singing and singing in my head. And when I opened my mouth to start singing with a song in my head, the peace of the Lord came over me. And he showed me that we are doing the right thing. We are in his will. So when Philip came home, I could tell him, it's okay. God showed me. And it was just by starting to sing, to praise the Lord's name. Okay. So, individual and corporate worship. Individual worship is where we worship God on our own. Okay. Do you think it needs to be only at home, or can it be somewhere else? Okay, it can be somewhere else, but not inside of corporate worship. Okay, individual worship is the type of worship that takes up or makes out the biggest percentage of worship as a lifestyle. Okay, it's indispensable. We have to feed daily on God's word. Even if you just listen to a sermon on a podcast, I mean, technology today is just absolutely amazing. We must pray. We must be intimate with God. You should always try and have a song in your heart, like we sang this morning. Let this God song rise up in us. You know, you can just ask yourself, do you have a song in your heart right at this moment? The song that I have is one that Carrie Job sings. It's The More I Seek You. She says, the more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and hear your heartbeat. This love is so deep. It's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming. That's the song in my heart, and I just wanted to share that with you, because that's the place where you get intimate with God, where you share everything you are with him, with no one around that can listen. Okay, you can do it quietly, even in a crowd. You can just sit and close your eyes and get into that intimate place with God. There's no substitute for personal time with a father, but it can never substitute for corporate worship either. This, what we do, is so important. If I wasn't going to bring the message this morning, I would have taken a part out of the last song we sang this morning and just bring a message out of that. Just want to take it now. It says, here in your presence, we are undone. What does that mean? It means that we come undone at the seams, like when you take out the seams of a shirt. We always try and keep everything together. But when we come into his presence, we come undone. We put everything in front of him. All our bad, all our good, we come undone. In your presence, heaven and earth become one. That means we step right into his throne room when we start worshiping him. So it becomes one in the spirit. We have direct access to God. All things are new. Everything bows before you. So we're going to sing that later on, and I just want you to meditate on those words and just think what it means to you. Okay, so I just want to lay a bit of claim on the corporate worship, since we are in church. We all feel a need to come to church to worship together. Okay, so corporate worship must facilitate and center itself around Jesus, okay? Not around our individual experiences. Not my personal experience. It's about our obedient response. And it was just amazing how Adrian's saying us and we this morning, because the corporate experience is about us and we. It's not about I and me. Yes, there are times that we can sing I and me, but mostly it's us and we. Okay. It's not a place for us to come for our quiet time. That should happen during the week. That should happen. We should come here prepared. We should come here filled with God to come and pour out what He has filled us with. And how we do that is we maintain a right relationship with Him during the week. We worship Him. We stay in His Word. We pray so that we can come and build up the body of Christ through prophecy, through word, through song, through just serving in the setup team in the morning, through serving in the worship team, through serving at children's church, multimedia team. I mean, that is all worship unto God. So we come together with all our gifts and abilities that God gave us. And this is a wonderful place where we are accountable to each other for growth, for living out our gifts and what God has placed inside of us. Okay, it reminds us that our hope is not fixed on anything less than our sovereign God. I wrote here, we should come with words, etc., to lift each other up. We, as church members, should make this a place where we don't want to stay away from. Okay? It's not His responsibility or the worship team's responsibility. It's each and every person's responsibility to make this the place that you want to come to every Sunday by filling yourself with God during the week and bringing a word. Okay, so I'm just going to go through 5 benefits of corporate worship quickly. I see that the time is running out fast. Okay, so the first benefit of corporate worship is awakening. Okay, Martin Luther wrote, at home in my own house, there is no warmth or vigor in me, but in the church, when the multitude is gathered together, a fire is kindled in my heart, and it breaks its way through. He loved corporate worship, or as he called it, congregational worship. Sometimes we come into worship or we come to church and we have this, what they call a spiritual fog. Life has been busy during the week. You have had time with God, but not that good quality time, okay? Sometimes you're just so busy with work. We find it a lot. You know, you just get busy with this and that and the other. And you come to church with a spiritual fog. And then when we start worshiping God through serving and prophesying, that lifts. It's supposed to lift. We're supposed to throw our everything into it. You know, it's like making a regular meeting with your husband when life is busy. And you say in that time, there's no cell phone, no children, no people. It's only you and me. And we get together and we both share time together. And that is what we are supposed to do on a Sunday. We're supposed to set this time apart. Apart from anything else that can take away from it, come together as a congregation and just worship God and just come into His presence again. And as a church, just drink from the spring of life. Just be filled so that we can go out and worship him during the week as a church. Okay. So even if we don't feel like worshiping him, the best thing is to do it, to start doing it, as I said earlier on. It just blesses you. Okay, and the second one is assurance. When we come together as a family, just think about your own families. When you come together as a family, you affirm each other. You assure each other that you're still part of a family, don't you? So this is what we have to do here. We are a family, so we have to assure and affirm each other in our walk with Christ. Yesterday at Encounter 2, Pastor Fred said that we must sing each other's praises. We must lift each other up. We shouldn't come here with judgment in our hearts. We are not made to stand alone, okay? We were baptized into the body of Christ. We weren't baptized into the body of Anna Marie or Philip or Esther or Saskia. We were baptized into the body of Christ. So we have to belong to a body. And this body comes together in this space. We can just read in 1 Kings 19, verse 18, Elijah went through troubling times and God gave him 7,000 that hadn't abandoned the truth. God says, yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So God gives us reinforcement here in church. When we feel weak, he gives us reinforcement. Tim Keller said, sanctification can happen on the spot as we sit under gospel preaching and engage in corporate worship. There are times, may God make them many, when the Holy Spirit takes the scripture read, the prayer spoken, the chorus sang, or the truth preached and presses it right to the point of our need and not merely informs our Christian walk, but heals us in that moment, all for the glory of God. Okay. So we need to grow on our own, in our own time. We need to grow as church in corporate worship. We need to move as church to spread the gospel, to bring the lost to the Lord. Another thing that Fred said yesterday, just reminded me of this, Pastor Fred, is that one horse can pull 1 ton of weight. So two horses separately pull 2 tons. Together, they pull 7 tons. So together, we have much more power than separately. We can reach much more people than separately. And that is just what corporate worship is about. Okay, number 4 is accepting another's leading or prompting. I know that isn't our natural response. We all like to be our own leader and master of our own universe. But we need to submit ourselves under the leadership of others, under the leadership of the worship team, under the leadership of Philip. When you have your own quiet time, you decide what you sing, what you pray about, what scriptures you read. But when we come in a corporate situation, we are subject to the songs that the worship team sings. We are subject to the scripture that Philip reads or the preacher. We are subject to the prayers that are being prayed over us. Okay, so this is a place where we learn how to be subject to God's leading as well. It demands that we discipline ourselves to respond and not only pursue God on our own terms. Okay, number 5 is accentuated joy. Now, I would have loved to go through the seven words of praise with you to show you how you can express your joy towards God, but there's not enough time for that. We can read in Psalm 107, verse 22, "And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy." When your team has won, what do? You go crazy. I remember in South Africa, the first World Cup that South Africa won. I mean, it was crazy. People were singing the anthem, and they were just going crazy. And that is what we should do. After revelation, the joy comes. And we should be singing God's praises about that. We should be happy about each other, happy that we are in church, happy to see each other. We should be happy to still be on earth, to be able to make a difference for God. It says here, "Awe for God is accentuated, adoration of him increased, and joy is enlarged when we can worship God together." I love to look at people, the way they walk, the way they react, the way they touch things. I just love it. I love it. And I love watching people in true worship. You can just see that connection between God and them at that moment. And in corporate worship, yes, we should forget the people around us because it's about God. As I said, we go straight to the throne room. And what does the throne room look like? We, Richard read us that scripture in Revelations where it's just, you know, the people fall down and it's just a lot of sound and we are all standing as one choir, individuals standing in one choir. So we forget about the people around us. We forget about the person next to us that hurt us. We forget about the person that's singing false behind us. Whatever. We as one person come before God. We praise him. We get into his throne room. Søren Kierkegaard. He was a Danish religious author born in 1813. I like these old guys. They had so much wisdom. He pointed out, I'm just going to read what he said, that often a congregation views itself as an audience. Can you relate to that? Sometimes you feel like an audience. Watching the worship leaders or music team and the pastor give their presentation or performance. But the truth is that the congregation is actually the cast of actors, with the worship leaders and the pastor acting as prompters, giving cues from the wings. The real audience is God, and the entire presentation is offered to him for his pleasure and glory. That was just so profound when I read it. So the music team is the orchestra in front of the stage. They are prompting with the music. He is the prompter from the side, giving you the words. And us sitting down there, we should be the actors. We should bring the word to glorify God. Imagine yourself on stage, and you bring your contribution, and God is sitting there with this huge smile on his face, and he's just so happy because you're coming to glorify him. And this just changed my world. So what is the issue when we come to church? It's not about, did I get anything out of it? Did I have an experience? It's about, did I give God the heartfelt praise and thanks and glory that he deserves? Did I serve? Did I pray with? Did I sing my heart out? Did I fall on the ground when I felt I had to? It's not about our dignity. It's about God's glory. We reveal God's character to each other. That is what we should do. We shouldn't feel condemned if we don't do it. Rather feel convicted. We all make mistakes. We all miss it. But just ask the Holy Spirit to help you, to remind you. And then step out and do something about it. The first time that we were at a shofar gathering, I went forward for prayer. I had back pain, and C.S. Leroux prayed for me, and he said to me, "You will dance with God again." And so many times since then, I've heard the same words, "You will dance with God again." And you know what keeps me back from dancing in church? It's my own pride. It's my own pride. I feel that people are going to laugh at me because maybe I'm not going to do it right, or I'm going to look funny. So I did it in children's church in front of the children because they don't judge me. They just love it when you dance with them. I mean, I did all sorts of stuff, air guitar, you name it, and I'll still do it. But my pride keeps me from doing it here. So what keeps you from just stepping out of your box? So has your definition of worship changed? Will you be expressing it differently, more often? I just don't want this to be a feel-good sermon. I really want to challenge you. Keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 16 to 26. It's not on there. Let me just read it to you. It's the ESV version. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." So, in corporate worship is the place for the fruits of the Spirit. Okay. As I say to the worship team on Thursday evening, the Holy Spirit, he's a gentleman. And he's got a sway to him. You know, just a gentle sway back and forth. And sometimes, like the wind, it becomes more vigorous. But if you're not part of that sway, you will look like a little bird trying to fly into the wind, going nowhere quickly. If you keep in step with the Spirit, if you keep worshiping God every day, you will know where the wind of the Holy Spirit goes. You will know where he leads you, you will feel his gentle push on your back or the tug on your arm. And that is just what I want to leave you with this morning. I would love Adrian to come up and we just sing that song again. And just, you know, savor the words that you sing. All worship songs are inspired by God or by his word. And I just want to leave you with good worship songs are not the newest, necessarily the newest and the best and the most musically correct or wonderful. When Philip's grandfather turned 86, him and all his friends were in the living room and they were singing all the old hallelujah songs, stuff that we don't know even today. And I just felt the presence of the Lord so much because they were in one accord. They were truly worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So it's not about the songs. It's not about the person that you're serving. It's about the God that you are serving. It's about the God that you are praying for. I just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we can worship you. Thank you that we have friends to worship with. Thank you that we can build each other up, cover each other's weaknesses, Lord. That we can have a family to which we can come with all of our defects, if you want to call it that, Lord. All of our pain, all of our sorrow, all of our experiences, Lord. And we can encourage each other. We can love each other. We can love on each other, Lord. And I just say thank you for that in Jesus' name.